Judges chapter 5 this morning. By the way, if you're not a Bible believer yet, if you're not saved or whatever, and you're not familiar with the Bible, and you can't find these scriptures quickly enough to follow with us, just listen. And but I always like folks to check me up. I want to make sure you know that I'm not just preaching opinions to you. I'm preaching the Word of God to you, because that's what's going to last forever. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to be behind the sacred desk preaching the Scriptures, the wonderful, perfect Word of God that you've given us. I pray, Lord, that we might hear, understand, and then apply within our daily lives. Lord, have your hand on my voice, Lord, able to preach all the way through the Scriptures this morning. Thank you for your blessing and power. Bless us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 5. I'm in Joshua. Let's try Judges. Well, I had the J right. Judges chapter 5. And verse 1 says, "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves." That caught my attention as I was reading through the Word of God. And of course, that's what God does. He goes ahead and uses the Word of God to speak to you. And so he did, and this kind of jumped out at me. What a statement. By the way, I always encourage everybody to bring three things to church, don't I? A King James Version, a pen, and an offering. Amen? You do that and you can worship the Lord correctly. So if you got a pen, won't you take that out? And I want you to underline there in verse 2, please. The people willingly offered themselves. They offered themselves, and they did it willingly. A lot of times we do things out of pressure. A lot of times we do things because we're supposed to. A lot of times we do things because it's the rule. You know what God's interested in you? What your whole life's about? He's interested in your soul. Jesus came to die for your soul. And so he died for our sins, that our souls might be saved. One day, there's going to come a day when Jesus comes back, and it's called the day of redemption. He's already redeemed our soul, but he's going to redeem our bodies. They're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But the whole thing is that God is interested in the real you. The you that only you know. No one else does. Doesn't matter if you're married to them or your mother and father or whatever. They don't know you like you know you, and God knows you because he's all about your soul. He wouldn't take his son to die and shed his blood if he wasn't interested in you personally. He died for me on that old rugged cross we sung about. But you know, he wants you to do things in your life willingly. He doesn't want to do it out of force or any other thing that comes in. Do it willingly. I find that's a big thing about everybody. And the folks that are here even today, and those listening at home, listening to the preaching as well. And after Israel had the victory, they not only willingly gave of their animals and their vegetables and everything they had, and they didn't just willingly offer in money in some offering plate or something. Rather, they willingly offered themselves. You can't get more than that. God wants us to do things willingly. We have a good example. Luke chapter 4, please. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. We'll zip right through the scriptures this morning like we always do. Luke chapter 4. And in verse 5, here you find the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 4. Oh, excuse me. I'll get to that in a minute. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 is where the Lord Jesus is being tempted by the devil. The devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt, that's a will, wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered, said, get behind thee, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. God allowed the devil to test his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there while he had gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And what would you do if you hadn't eaten in that long? You wouldn't be strong against the devil in your flesh. But the Lord Jesus, even though he was weakened in his body, he was strong in spirit, in his soul. And it tells you there in Luke chapter 4 that we just read, verse 7, if, what does if imply? A choice. If thou therefore wilt, this is coming from your being willing to worship me, the devil says, all shall be thine. A lot of people say about things that come into their life that I didn't have a choice. You always have a choice. Life is made up of choices. The question is, will you? Where's your will? Where's your want to? I hope you're not here this morning just because you know you should be in church. I hope you've gotten over the point where it used to be in your life, well, it's Sunday, I gotta go to church, to getting right with God and saying, praise the Lord, I get to go to church. That's 100 degrees out of phase. Your heart's changed. Your soul's changed. Your attitude's changed. It was of your free will that you come to church, that you read your Bible at home, that you pray. You have a choice, but according to your will. These people that we're talking about, they willingly offered themselves. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Satan realized that Jesus had a will. He could obey Satan if he wanted to. But he didn't want to. And he said, get away from me. That's what you need to do when the Satan goes for your jugular too. Resist the devil, and he will. What?
Flee.
Flee. You know what we got with a bunch of Christians today? There's not much resisting going on toward the devil. We get bad attitudes, and we resist all kinds of good things and good people. When we should be resisting the things that are bad, sinful, debauchery. What do we read over and over again in the will of God? The fear of God. It's a good thing to have the fear of God. Read the book of Proverbs. It's full of that. We need to have a healthy respect for God. I would rather fear God with respect than fear God knowing I'm going to be judged for what I did. Why do we do the things we do? How do we dress the way we dress? Why do we go to the places that we go? Are you pleasing the flesh? Or are you pleasing God? Are you really worshiping God? Are you just punching a clock? What is it within your life? Don't live your life that way. Be sure that God has told you to do this and that, and then follow through on what you say. Keep a vow. Most dangerous word you can come out of your mouth is promise. I promise you I will. You better make sure you keep your word. That promise is a vow. Read Ecclesiastes 5:4. It says only a fool will make a vow and not pay it, not live up to it, not keep his word. The only reason you know you're saved this morning is because there was a day in your life where you realized you were a sinner and your sin was sending you to hell. And that became real to you because it is real, and Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. And you didn't want to go to hell, so you did what a lot of folks don't do these days, you repented. You changed your mind. You were walking this way one day, and you repented, and you started walking this way. You asked the Lord Jesus Christ to take away your sin, forgive you forever, and to give you a free gift of eternal life, one that you can't earn, you can't deserve. You can't do anything religious for it. No, it's getting right back to the soul. He came to save your soul. Just saying a prayer isn't going to save you. But a change of life will prove that you have the real McCoy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 39. Now here is the Lord in the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane before the next morning he's going to be on a cross at 9 o'clock. And he's praying here in the dark in verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." God has a will. And Jesus, being the only person ever in history that was half God and half man, or as Spurgeon would say, all God and all man, because nobody can understand the concept of the hypostatic union the scholars like to talk about. He knew that he had a will. You have a will. You have a will to make either the right choice or the wrong choice. How do you know what's right and wrong? If you don't believe the Bible, you have no idea what's right and wrong. You get away from the Bible, it's up to men's opinions. And everybody's got one. We follow what God has said. That's what's true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What? The truth? He's the truth? Matthew 4:24, he said, "Thy word is truth." This is the only thing that you have on the face of the earth that is true. You've got so many books written by men. You go to Washington, you go to all these places that got all of the books. They're all opinions. You only got one book. That's the truth. How much you know that book? This church stands for this book. King James only. Knowing the Word of God and learning and growing and being stronger in the Word of God. So, here comes the will again. Even with Jesus. I mean, look at the example. That's why I use him first. He's the best example. Don't look at another sinner as your example. Look to Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll go astray, you keep your eyes on men. They all fall. They all fail. Oh, I'm looking for the perfect church. Have a good, jaunt through your life looking for it. I'm looking for the perfect preacher. Well, you ain't going to get him here, I'll guarantee you that. But, I just want to preach about the one that is perfect. That's what the one we need to follow. Go to Exodus chapter 35, please. The book of Exodus in chapter 35. This thing about will also talks about stubbornness within our life. You have your own will, and boy, you're going to do it no matter what. Doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, or godly, or ungodly, right? An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea. So his friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it. The next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him. But as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land. Finally, he was rescued by his friends again. Disgusted and impatient with him, they asked, "Why didn't you use that compass we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." The sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north. But as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept on pointing southeast." Anybody that knows anything about a compass gets that. Of his own will, of his own stubbornness, he stubbornly tried to force his own personal persuasion on his compass. You don't tell the compass where to go. The compass tells you where to go. And don't you find yourself in your life too, that all of your wants and your dreams and everything else, you're going to tell God what you're going to do in your life. And you want God's blessing on it. No, the way it is God will tell you what you're going to do within your life. He's the Lord. He's the boss of this whole outfit, folks. The whole universe, and they haven't found the end of it, and they never will. Because it's like the sand of the seashore. Gotta watch out about this thing, will. Go to Exodus 35, verse 21, please. "And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing." You can underline these with your pen if you want. It'd be a blessing to you. The word willing. Willing-hearted. "And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom he was found, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badgers, and everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found Chittim one for any work of service brought it." Look, verse 25, "And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both in blue and purple and of scarlet, and all of the women whose heart stirred them up," talking about their will, "in wisdom spun goat's hair." Verse 29, "And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses." What kind of offering? A willing offering. Everything they had. They used their talent. The women were involved and made things and sewed and all kinds of stuff. Anything that they had, they wanted to bring it. They didn't have to. They willingly did it. A lot of people out here, you see the billionaires and everything and all of the people that have more money and they know what to do with. They give it so they can be in the spotlight and people can say, "Oh boy, isn't he great?" You know what Jesus said? He said, "You see that widow down there by the offering plate? She took a mite and gave it And she gave more than anybody else, because it's all she had. Being willing. Are you here willingly today? I hope so. Maybe that hasn't happened to you yet. I pray that there'll be a change in your life where you really get the meaning of life. Back up to chapter 25, if you would, quickly. Exodus 25, and in verse 2, it also says, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Here again. Boy, that word willingly just pops up all over the place in the Word of God when you're looking for it. Because that's the meaning of your life. How about doing something willingly? You know what we do when we don't want to do something? We make excuses. My grandma used to say, "Sonny, where there's a will, there's a way." She was the best preacher I ever heard. I've heard thousands of them. One guy had his son going to get married. He said, "We accompanied our son and his fiancée when they met with her pastor to sign some pre-wedding ceremonial papers. While filling out the form, our son read aloud a few questions. When he got to the last one, which read, 'Are you entering this marriage at your own will?' he stopped and he looked over at his fiance. 'Put down yes,' she said." How about your will? Yeah, a lot of marriages come apart because of that. One pressure on another, on and on it goes. People get married for the looks of another or whatever, and they're enchanted with them and so forth. You go live together for a few years and you'll find out that you don't have love at all. Love is a sacrifice. Unless you're willing to sacrifice for the other one, don't get married. That's not love. That's lust. That's pleasing the flesh. That's not something that's going to stick together. Even children. What's the problem we have with children? I mean, right from birth. I mean, Psalm 58:3 says they come forth from the womb speaking lies. You know what you got in your hand? You got a sinner on your hand. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what? Their will is to please themselves. You don't have to teach a kid to do wrong. He automatically does wrong. Because it's sinner. And you find out you got to break his will. And yeah, you can search Proverbs 22:15, 19:18, 13:24, and on to prove that that's the whole deal in raising children. You got a rebellious brat on your hand, by the age of 12, it's gone. At 13, they're rebellious already, and it's only by the grace of God that that kid will get saved and straightened out and not get into all of the things of the world that is going to tear everybody's heart out of their chest because of what they're going to do. It's the will. What's the hardest thing to teach that kid? Obey. Huh? We should talk because we don't obey God, do we? But we want our kids to obey. Yeah, they watch the influence right in their own home. Let our kids run with the world out here and everything, and they're out here vaping and getting drunk and just everything. And crime. God never had it that way. You know what it is? The will. The will. I'll just give you two more verses and we'll stop this morning. I've got enough here to preach another hour, but I'm not going to do that to you, that's for sure. And let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. A simple verse and one you've read before. Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Let's all say it together. Ready? And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt... Mark 12, 30.
That's
31. You're reading 31. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have it all grouped together in my Bible. Let's go with verse 30 all together. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If you got that pen, why don't you underline those four things? Heart, soul, mind, strength. You know what that is? That's your will. And that's how you are to love the Lord. You won't be running away from God, you'll be running to God. You get your heart right. You aren't going to try to find excuses for not coming to church. You're going to run to church. Do you know what we're doing and what's going on right now? Something spiritual is happening right now between this book, me, and you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How should they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:17. This is a spiritual thing that's happening right now. We can't see spiritual things yet. There's angels in this room. Everyone has a guardian angel, let's just say. But you can't see them. Because we only have our five senses. When we are in the spirit world, when we die, we'll be able to see. That's why we can see Jesus, we can see God, we can see the angels, things that are spiritual. He is an invisible God, it says over and over again in the Bible. Amen. So something spiritual is happening. It'll never be like this another time in your life for the rest of the time that you live. Not everybody that's sitting here will be sitting here. The same message will not be preached. The Holy Spirit using the Word of God, working on your heart, it'll never be like it is right now. That's why it's so important for you to make the right choice. Have the will. These people, they willingly offered themselves. You need to put yourself on the altar. Make the right choice today. Don't listen to others. Don't listen to this lost world. Certainly don't listen to a TV or radio or anything. You're getting truth. You're getting lied to. You got the book of truth right in front of you. One last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. My life verse is verse 16 as a preacher, 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But the most important verse is right after it. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Willingly. Things we need to do willingly within our lives. There's some things in your lives, maybe at home, maybe with your wife, your husband, your children, and so forth. If you get the right heart attitude, you'll willingly do what you're supposed to do. It's better than being forced to. Are you willing to offer yourselves unto the Lord? That's just a question, because you've got to make a choice. You have it laid down in Scripture over and over again, down through the centuries. If you're here today and you don't know absolutely 100% sure, if you died right now, you'd be in heaven. Then you need to willingly come to Christ. I try always to have an invitation, an altar call at the end of preaching, so you can willingly make the right choice and receive Christ. And so I do. I offer to you an opportunity, as we sing a hymn in a second, that you get up out of your pew and you walk forward, where I'll be down here to meet you. And this morning you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be saved from hell and know for sure you're going to heaven. For sure. Maybe there's some things, Christian, you've already been saved, but you're not where you should be in your Christian life. Maybe you just need to come and kneel at this altar, just between you and God. No pressure. It's just the pressure of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you what you should do and shouldn't do. I think you know what God wants you to do. Seek God's will, not your will. I pray that you do that. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might work within our midst, work within our hearts. Each one of us have choices to make this morning. Before we leave, I pray that you might give us the wisdom to do it. Change lives, Lord. Change everything. I'm so glad you're not a God that changes, but you are a God that changes others. Bless in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to number 220. 220, 220. Get your eyes on Jesus. The only safe way. He's the Lord. Make the decision you need to do this morning. I've tried my best to present the truth to you of what God has already said. All glory goes unto God and the Holy Spirit working in your behalf in your heart this morning. I pray that you take advantage of that and do the right thing. Let's stand as we sing. Number 220. And you come as you need. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life for abundance and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the full and his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I'm just going to sing that last stanza. Won't you come?
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you had a blessing and fellowshipping together this morning around the Word of God, eating the spiritual food. You're saved, your soul needs food. Amen. And now you're going to run off to a restaurant and get to the physical food. And everybody understands that too. That's good. Love you all. If I can be of a blessing to you, on the way out, see me, or phone number is with everyone. Give me a call. Thanks for our evening service at 6 o'clock. Completely different kind of service. And we pray at that time also, as well as a message and a fellowship as well. If you're willing to go, come tonight. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of the hour. Pray that you might change us, Lord. You have the answers. No one else does. May we go to you. Bless each one that goes and leaves the building today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless your fellowship together, Lord, please.
Thank you. Hey, girls.
Hi, James.
Hello, over here.
It's been a long time since I've seen you. Seems like it's been forever.
And come off here.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh. I know, that's a good thing. We're going to get James together to get that out of here.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Might be able to get them out.
We'll just put the winner one up at the end.
Turn the toes. Okay.
Yes, we'll do. Have a good day.
Hey, you do this. You shake them?
Very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Good to see you too. Bye bye. Have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
You too. Get yours.
Oh, it's mine. Oh, yes, you got it.
Right? We all go through that.
Thank you.
Okay, that's lovely. It was wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You watched the little one, did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You want to put this on now? Tonight or?
How
early though?
Oh, there?
It
was over there. Oh. We'll have to do it tonight. Do it tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down there,
really? What? 39 Church Street?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Church Street. It just moved. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I haven't even got my license yet. Yeah, I got nothing. Your birthday's the day before mine. Next year we'll celebrate together.
Yeah, there you go. How about that? My daughter's being a two.
So you go to trip over there in Greece?
I do. I'm actually a recovering alcoholic, 14 weeks in. So I am just indulging myself in faith and spirituality. I go to AA meetings. I do go out to a church in Clarkson, New Beginnings Christian. So I listen to them online while I was waiting for Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I came here. So I'm just throwing myself in the word.
Sure.
My will to break that habit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Side.
Everything within our lives is
good. I've
been hearing
about this a lot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
you
gotta
change your mindset. Yeah. 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 Glad to be here.
And that's what they, you know, in all the AA meetings, I mean, that's how we start out. You have to have the will.
Yeah, exactly.
And do God's will.
God has blessed us through the years, which I could have been faithful to him and the sea friend of me. That's for sure. Need folks like yourself?
Did you look at the, do I need the boots on? I mean, if I do, I will put them on.
No, it's
dry. I hope so, because I'm not going to fall.
You do what you want.
Put some salt down there for tonight. Put it down now, so it'll be okay for tonight. David wasn't here.
Yep.
Since David was, but he can't. Not in this letter. He would never believe in this.
Exactly.
But he goes, he went to the A's. Yeah, they helped him.
Yeah.
And he still, he may still go, I don't know. But he knows the place. He wants to be. That's the only thing I feel bad about. My heart breaks when people come into this church because I'm thinking, here's all the young people that need other young people. They need to have somebody that's what they need. They need a little bit there.